John 4. And if you have your Bible, if you would join me in making this confession, might be new for some of you, that's fine. We invite you to join us. The words will be on the screen. So if you need those and you agree with it, please follow along. And for those of you who are streaming, we invite you to follow along, participate as well. And again, let's just give God our attention, our focus right now. Let's give him our effort. And let's just bless him. And if we believe it, let's just confess it. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. In other words, this is how God revealed his love toward us. Continuing on in that verse, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Through Jesus, we can have spiritual life and eternal life. And that was a demonstration of God's love for us. Then down to verse 19, this is kind of be our theme verse here today and for this week. It says, we love him because he first loved us. That verse is translated, we love because he first loved us. It's also translated, we love each other because he loved us first. And so today I want to take just that little bit of a shorter version because the truth that's being emphasized, regardless of the translation, is that God is the source of love. God is the source of true love. And that includes both love for him and love for others. So here's the message this morning. We love because he first loved us. We love, why? Because he first loved us. So that's, I hope, what you'll take with you this week. That I see a number of you writing it down. Lord bless you. Just if you get it down into your heart, we want to confess it and speak it, and so we can live it out. This is the second message in a series I just call in Live in the Flow. And it's based somewhat on the words of Jesus in John 7:38, if you want to write it down. We'll stay right here, 1 John. But John 7:38, Jesus is speaking, and he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this is, if I had something I would want people to take away from my life, I hope that I could live this, and I hope that I could share this, that you will live in the flow. And the letters F-L-O-W, the F was last week's message, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then today the L stands for love. We love because he first loved us. And so that's just basically how we're just kind of going on. Lord willing, next 2 weeks you'll get the last two of the O and the W. But if you're there in 1 John, would you look at chapter 3, verses 23 and 24? It kind of connects both faith and love together. 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Please notice how it words this in verse 23. And this is his, God's commandment. Notice it's singular. Doesn't say his commandments are. This is his commandment, two parts, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Believe and love. Verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he, God, in us. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. When God's Spirit draws us to the truth, when it says believe on the name of Jesus Christ, sometimes it'll say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved or forgiven of your sins. You'll be adopted into God's family. the idea in our culture, it's easy to say Lord Jesus Christ, first, middle, and last name, but that's not what it means at all. Jesus is his earthly name that an angel told his parents to name him because his name gives his mission. It means the Lord saves. He came to save his people from their sins. But Lord is his title. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Thomas saw him after he came back to life from the dead, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." So when we're believing in Jesus as Lord, and Christ means Messiah. So it's coming to that place where God's Spirit draws us, that we believe with our heart, not just, yeah, I believe he was a good man, teacher. No, it's with our heart we believe that we're made right with God. And we believe that Jesus is Messiah and Lord. And you can be a child and believe. You can be aged and believe. Any culture, language, ethnicity, any education status, financial status, we all believe something anyway. We all accept someone's authority. And so it's saying Jesus is my highest authority. That's what then when that happens, then God's Holy Spirit indwells us. So we believe, and then with the one who is love inside of me, he empowers us, he indwells us and empowers us to love God, to love him, and to love others. But ultimately, our love is a responsive love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Would you say that with me? We love because he first loved us. Let's say it again. We love because he first loved us. If you look down to 1 John now, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Bible says this. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us as sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I don't know about y'all's vocabulary. That was not in my repertoire. I don't think I've ever used it in my life outside of the Bible. And saying that Jesus is our propitiation, I'm thinking it's a good thing, but I don't have a clue really what it would mean. So I would have to look it up. And one translation, the New Living Translation, words it like this. I think it's helpful. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." That make it a little easier to understand? So y'all don't use propitiation a whole lot either. Propitiation. God gave his law, his Ten Commandments, and he said to put them in a box. It was a rectangular chest. It was made out of wood, but it was covered with gold. We call it the Ark of the Covenant. And it contained the Ten Commandments, God's holy law. And y'all know if you break the law, there's a penalty, right? There's a sentence that's executed that goes with the law. And so when he said, "You shall have no other gods before me," if we break that law, then there is a sentence imposed. When he said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," if we break that commandment, there's a sentence imposed. When he says, "Honor your mother and father," and we dishonor them, we break the commandment. If we steal, if we lie, if we commit adultery, those are breaking God's. We break the law, and the penalty for breaking God's law is death. The sentence is death. Death is separation. Spiritual death is separation from God. And because we've all sinned, it's entered into our hearts. It's in the human family. Because we've all sinned, we've all been separated from God. And physical death is a result of spiritual death. So our bodies stop working because we're out of fellowship with God. And physical death is separation of the spirit from the body. But thank God, he loved us so much that he ordained a plan that the condemned sinner wouldn't have to be the one to die. He ordained that a qualified substitute could die in our place. That's why this Ark of the Covenant had a lid on it. And the blood of a sacrifice was sprinkled on that lid. so that the blood covered the broken commandments that we've all broken. The word propitiation is translated a different way. The root of it is the same. It's translated a different way in Hebrews 9:5. And what was rightfully a judgment seat, because we've all been guilty of breaking a law, became a mercy seat instead. And that word propitiation is the same root as mercy seat. This is how God loved us. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the mercy seat for our sins, to be the sacrifice who would take away. Thank God. Thank God. And then we love him. But that's important to know what he did for us, because if we don't appreciate his love, then I don't think we're going to respond with a proper love for him. So we love because he first loved us. If you want to write this reference down, I'll stay right here in 1 John. The Bible says this, John 15:9. Again, Jesus is speaking. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So we're to believe God's word. It's a way of life for us, and we're to receive his love. And I want to ask you just think about this, please. Seriously think about this. Are you believing and doing God's word? Just think about it. And are you at home? Are you living in the awareness of God's love for you? Because if we're not, I want to encourage us all to say we can, thank God, and let's start. He does love us. Let's freely receive, and then let's freely give. We love because he first loved us. Would you say that with me? We love because he first loved us. I like to just share three, I believe, practical steps of expressions of love, God's love for us, and how we can live it out. And usually after I share a message on Sunday, I don't know, it's always on Sunday afternoon, maybe Monday, my mind is already working. Some pastors may wait like on a Saturday to prepare the message for Sunday, and that's fine. I've learned you got to do what works for you. That's just not me. I'm more the crock pot kind of guy. I got to think on it, and I got to let it simmer. So I feel like I get something out of it myself so that I can share it with you. I make notes, but I want it to come out of me because I've put it in me. And last Sunday afternoon, I just went out on a walk, and it was, you know, I just wanted to get out of the house a little bit and just stretch. And when I was walking, I was thinking about God's love for us, and three words came to my mind. And I don't just, you know, go home and say, well, God just told me that, because I don't want to be guilty of trying to make the Bible say what I want it to say and reading something into it that's not really there. I shared Wednesday night in our Zoom meeting, keep the text in the context and let the text talk. Let's allow God to talk to us rather than we just kind of preconceived idea. But after I really prayed on it and studied and looked at the scripture, I believe these words are scriptural, and I believe the Lord put it in my heart, and I'd like to just share them with you today on we love because he first loved us. And I'll just give them to you. You don't have to speed write. We'll take a moment on each one. I'll give you the references if you're listening. But God's love is pure, powerful, and practical. God's love is pure, powerful, and practical. Again, I'll give you the scripture references here. We just stay right in 1 John. If you're writing notes, I'll give you a reference, but we keep it right there. The first one is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's look at it together. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. He who does not love his brother abides in death. See, God's love in us. When we come to the place where we believe God's Holy Spirit is in us, and God gives us a love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's one of the ways we can know that we are genuinely in Christ. We can know that we've been born again. One way is because we have a love for fellow believers. God puts that in us when he indwells us. So, and fellow believers means fellow believers. It means our brothers and sisters in Christ, God's other sons and daughters, whether they're in this fellowship or not, whether they believe everything like we do or not, if they're in Christ, they are our brothers and sisters, and God gives us a love for them. That's a pure love. The Bible says this, if you want to write the reference down, many of you are familiar with it. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Let me just read you a few words from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, you can follow along on the screen. The Bible says this, love suffers long, and it's still kind. That's God's love. We could say it this way, Jesus suffers long and is kind. How's this sound? Rocky suffers long. No, because I'm not always so kind if you make me suffer a long time. Love is it's also translated, love is patient. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love's not self-promoting. Hey, look at how I'm so spiritual. Look how loving I am. That's not, God's love is not showy that way. He goes on in the next verse, in verse 5, and says that love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. So not only is God's love not self-promoting, it's not self-pleasing. In other words, love wants what's best for others. It's goodwill towards someone else. And God's love then has pure motives. God's love has pure motives in every expression. So God's love in me toward friends is a pure love. Love is pure. I'm not just trying to, hey, if I can get in with this guy, I'll get some out of this, you know, he's high up in this position or whatever, and it's going to look good on me. No. If God blesses me with someone like that, that's fine, but my motive isn't just to see what I can get out of someone, because love is pure. And love is pure in family relationships, son and daughter, or mom and dad toward son and daughter, son and daughter toward mom and dad, toward parents. It's pure in husband and wife relationship. It's even our sexual relationship. There's purity there when it's in the context of the covenant, a loving commitment of husband and wife, man and woman in marriage. That's the expression. That's how God designed. That's pure. And the Bible says this, if you just, again, we'll put that verse up, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6. The Bible says this, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Brothers and sisters, it's wise for us to recognize pure love, because some of what is called love is not God's love. I'll let that just sink in a minute. Just stew on it. Some of what is called love is not God's love, because God's love is pure. God's love is pure, it's powerful, and it's practical. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, the Bible says this. By this we know love. Here's how we can know real love. Because Jesus laid down his life for us, Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for others, for our brethren. God's love is pure, it's powerful, and it's practical. Some of you will relate to what I'm saying. Think of how powerful God's love is to soften the hardest heart. If you've ever experienced a time in your life when you felt like your heart was hardened and it didn't stay hardened, that was the love of God that melted that hardness. Maybe you've been like me and you've been the prodigal and you've been the son or daughter who was out of fellowship with the father and you were away from home. You weren't in right fellowship with your father, with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but God's love was powerful enough to draw back those out of fellowship, to draw back the backslidden. That's what the Bible talks about. Being backslidden means we're away from God. We're not as close as we once were. God's love draws us. And we can be in complacency. We can just be, hey, I'm cool. I'm on the way to heaven, and just kind of complacent, and everything's fine, and everything's, you know, nothing's real crazy right now in my life. God's love is powerful enough to stir us out of complacency. That's the love of God. It's powerful. In fact, when the scripture says here that just like Jesus laid down his life for us, We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for others. Thankfully, that's not something that most of us will ever have to do. But the love of God is so powerful, it not only causes us, it is not only powerful enough to overcome self-preservation, which is being willing to lay our lives down. I wonder if this is more what we're called to do. I'll say it this way. It's powerful enough to overcome selfishness and self-seeking and self-pleasing. It's powerful to reach us in that way. That's God's love working on the inside of us. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to just write this verse down again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Let me read it to you once again. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 says, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. That phrase, thinks no evil, is one Greek word. It's logizomai, in case you want to know. It's love doesn't keep a log. It's an accounting term. In other words, love does not hold our offenses against us. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, love is not foolish. No one has a right to abuse us. But love doesn't keep a track record of, well, you did this to me, that's gonna cost you, you did that to me, that's gonna be 5 points, you gotta work that off. It's not that, all right? Love doesn't keep that kind of a log. It doesn't keep an inventory. It doesn't have that kind of a track record. Anyone here glad God does not hold your sins against you because of Jesus? We have one gentleman here in the church. I went to school with his son. Graduated with a son, and he was a great testimony for the Lord. But he was a really good tennis player. And he was expert tennis player, played in college. And there's an expression, when there's no score in tennis, what is it called? Love. And when we don't keep score, it's love. That's what it's saying, that we don't keep a score here. And I'll share a little something. This is something that I did wrong. I don't remember what it was. But I remember when it was, because I think we were Brittany's. It was either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And we had a little something going on. We were saying something. And Kim said, you need to change your attitude. Can you imagine that? And I want it to respond. I had something in mind, actually. But thank God for grace. On that moment, at least, I went, all right, and walked away. But I'll go ahead and say it now. So I was thinking it. I was thinking, you wait till you mess up, because I'm going to give it right back to you. Aren't you glad I didn't say that? I'm glad I didn't say that. But that's not keeping a log. But she did good. She didn't write it out either, so it helped me. That's part of why the Lord brings us together. See, love is pure, and it's powerful, and it's practical. Thank God that He doesn't hold it. I thank God every day that He does not hold my sins against me, but He loved me enough that His Son paid for my sins on the cross, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And He looks at me and sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the mercy seat. He sees the cross. He doesn't see all the commandments I've broken and breaking. He sees me complete in Him, and He calls me righteous because of what Jesus did. That's love. We love because He first loved us. Would you say it with me? We love because He first loved us. And then finally, it's practical. So love is pure, it's powerful, and it's practical. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How is God's love in that person? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. God does tell us He loves us. He says He loves us, but He shows us that He loves us. He showed it on the cross. He shows it every day. Every day we wake up, we have sanity of mind, we have health and strength. He's a good Father. He gives us what we need. The Bible says He gives us life, breath, and all things. He gives us what we need to do His will. Thank God, because love that is pure and powerful is also practical in the real world of our daily lives. Real love, practical. It's a call to action. I think this is a good opportunity for us to not only say loving our brothers and sisters, it's practical regardless of our differences. God's love is pure, it's powerful and practical regardless of our differences. That means you don't have to look like me, you don't have to like what I like, you don't have to agree with me on everything, but I am called to love you, and if I can help you, I'm to do so because He first loved me. What a testimony. It's what Jesus prayed. It's what Jesus prayed that we would be one so that the world would know that the Father sent Him. We have such an opportunity in a dark and divided world for the church to come together in a spirit of unity and one accord that says we allow differences, but we have something that binds us together that's greater than what distinguishes us, and we're not going to let this come between us. Because there is a greater good for God, His kingdom, and His purpose than my little perspective. Love. I was reading a testimony. One of the ministries that I support monthly is called World Challenge. It was started by David Wilkerson years ago. His son, Gary Wilkerson, is carrying on the ministry now. And they send like monthly newsletters and messages. This month was Why God Waits to Answer Our Prayers. It's a message his dad shared before he was killed in a car wreck about 10 years ago. But he shared this update from a testimony from a lady in Ukraine. She is a widow, and in the Ukraine, widows basically have to rely on family members to live, and it could be very hard for them. And there was one lady, her name is Galina, that's her first name, and many times he said they have to endure the loss of their loved ones, and they're abandoned, they're left alone in the world, they really just need a friend. And this lady, there's a partner there called the Slavic Gospel Association. And this lady lost her husband and her son. Her health was deteriorating and she was there by herself. Her debts were piling up and she didn't even have food. And this ministry found out about her, and they started taking food to her. And he writes that they brought baskets of food to her and provided friendly company. And as her health continued to decline and go down, they actually took some medicine to her that she needed, that she couldn't afford. And this is what the testimony says. When they took her that medicine, they said she couldn't even speak. She was so overwhelmed with gratitude. That simple act of kindness, talking about love, practical love, helped Galina to finally understand the love of Christ in a tangible, practical way. And that night, she prayed to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Practical. We love because He first loved us. That's why they were sharing that with this lady who was in need. And, you know, her heart could have been hardened. Man, that's a hard life. I don't know what it is to, you know, you lose your spouse, lose a child. You're there alone. You're in bad health. You don't have food to eat. I can't imagine being in a situation like that. I'm not excusing it, but I could understand humanly, your heart could harden and maybe even blame God. If you cared about me, why'd you let this happen to me? The next morning, the World Challenge partners got word that she had passed away. And those who knew her were incredibly thankful that her heart had softened toward God in her final days. We love because He first loved us. Love is pure, powerful, and practical. Would you say that with me? Love is pure, powerful, and practical. Let me close with this, just asking a question. Because maybe you're like me. I need to regularly examine my love walk with God, with Kim, Brittany, you, with people that don't know the Lord, and to see, am I really not just talking, but walking the walk? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We love because he first loved us. So I want to ask you to think about it. First, we got to start here. Do you believe God loves you? I mean, without a doubt, do you look at the cross, you hear the testimony of God's inspired word, and you know he loves you? If you do, then receive, believe, and receive his love, because again, we can't really give what we don't have. Now, I know everyone has capacity to love non-Christians as well, because we are created in God's image, but there's something about God's love that overcomes that human tendency that we all struggle with, and we do need his love to live that way and to love with his love. So to receive God's love, and then just think, how can I share God's love with, and you fill in the blank, start with wherever you are, my husband, my wife, my son, daughter, my mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever it may be. How can I share my love, your love, with my coworkers, with my those who go to school, neighbors, friend, maybe how can I share your love with that person that gets on my nerves? And then think, how will you share? I really believe this. If we ask God to show us, I believe he'll put in our hearts something that we can live out. How can I really show practical, pure, powerful, practical love to this person? If we seek the Lord in prayer, I really believe that he will lead us, and then it's just a matter of doing it. So we love because he first loved us. Would you say it with me once again? We love because he first loved us. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.